John tells us Jesus is the creator of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
I don't know about you, but I have a love-hate relationship with Christmas lights. I love walking around, seeing lit up trees and houses. I always hope the council go all out on making the town centre look really pretty. I've even been known to walk down the road to look at a neighbour's setup admiringly. But then just the other evening, it was well past my bedtime, and I'm doing my best not to lose my cool as I try and untangle a knot of Christmas lights. Whatever I do, it seems there's no way they're coming apart, and I find myself wondering where I put the scissors. It's a hassle putting up Christmas lights all tangled and tied up. Why bother? Is it worth it? Have we even considered why we have lights at Christmas at all? Or perhaps the struggle's not so literal, that we find Christmas a dark time of year, and we're reminded of the pains and sorrows we face. And so we try and drown out the difficulties and damages of life with the glow of Christmas. But it never lasts. And so for a few moments now, I want us to consider the earth-shattering reality that Christmas is all about the true light coming into the world. Now we're going to zoom in on just one sentence from that reading. You'll find it in these little John's Gospels. It's page 3 and the little number 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And really, it's a tale of two halves. So firstly, the glad news and the sad news of Christmas. And here we're considering the first half of our sentence. The light shines in the darkness. Have you ever had that nagging thought? There must be more to this world than mere substance and stuff. You can't quite explain why you find a mountain view or a newborn baby or an exquisite piece of music so moving. And when something takes our breath away, it reminds us we're more than just flesh and bone. Is there something more out there? Elon Musk says there's no evidence of aliens whatsoever. He says, if anyone would know, it would probably be me, and I've not seen any evidence of aliens. What this perhaps suggests is that this tiny candle of consciousness that is humanity is all that exists in a vast darkness, and we should do everything we can to ensure the candle does not go out. Well, with the greatest of respect to Mr. Musk, John 1 says there is more out there. Not aliens, but God. John's already told us about the Word, a person, one who was with God and who also is God. He's the one who made everything. He's the divine agent and self-expression of God. And now John refers to this same person as the light. As we read on, we'll discover this light, this Word, is none other than Jesus Christ. But the radical news in verse 5 is the light shines. Jesus, the light of the world, has entered his creation. Just like the sun gives life and light, so does the Word in a far more profound sense. Just before our sentence, we read, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." So the Word is the source of all physical life. But Jesus isn't just the source of beating hearts and breathing lungs and so on. He's also the source of all spiritual life. The Word brings light, revelation from God. And welling up from the Word is life, relationship with God. It's eternal life, salvation life, satisfying life, the life we so desperately need. The light. Jesus has broken into his creation and he continues to shine. It is ongoing illumination. God has made himself known in Jesus. He's not playing hide and seek. The guessing games are over. We don't have to fumble around in the dark. God has switched on the light, so to speak. Christmas reminds us God has entered his world in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, to make himself known and to bring us life. But light doesn't only reveal and regenerate, it also exposes us. So there's the glad news, the light shines, God has come into the world. But it's followed by the sad news, the light shines in the darkness. And we live in a dark world. It doesn't take a long look at the news to realize we live in a dark world. It's unpleasant even mentioning it, but there were the wicked horrors committed by Hamas in Israel. Women violated, children butchered, old and young alike, gunned down, some kidnapped to be used as collateral. It can only be described as evil. And sadly, it's not new. A skim through the history books shows us it always has a depressing way of repeating itself. But perhaps we might know the darkness a little closer to home. And maybe it's been the death of a loved one. Or the darkness of a disease like dementia. Many of us will know the pain of relationship breakdowns. Whether it's death, disease, or divorce, or injustice, greed, or exploitation, there is a relentless torrent of sad news. And no one is immune. It seems like even Christmas can only paper over the cracks. But the darkness John talks about here isn't just what's wrong in the world, it's also the underlying reason. You see, we live in a dark world because we live in ignorance of God. Have you ever been at somewhere so dark you just can't see your hand even in front of your face? You don't know which way is which. It is disorientating and dangerous. I remember once being on a boat on an underground lake, and when they turn off the lights, you can see nothing, not a thing. It's very disconcerting. But if darkness is all you've ever known, well, you don't realize it. And John says, like a blind mole rat or a pit pony, we're naturally in the dark about God, and we don't even know it. You see, the world is not as it should be, because we are not as we should be. It's not that we're as bad as we could be, we're not all terrorists, it's just we're not as good as we should be. Later in this book, we read these words, "This is the judgment, the light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." And so this brings us to our second headline today, the sad news and the glad news of Christmas. Now we're pondering the second half of our sentence. And the darkness has not overcome it. Now that word overcome has a double meaning. It's like the word grasp or apprehend or master. You can grasp a maths equation, you can understand it, or you can grasp someone to mug them, you want to overpower them. So the sad news is the darkness just doesn't grasp the light. It can't understand it. A while back, one dog trainer said our dog was quite intelligent, and I had a glow of pride, even as I told myself they probably tell everyone the same thing. But even our dog doesn't know what's good for her. She'll often eat leftover takeaways thrown over the back fence. Or I'm trying to take her through a gate into a field where she can run free, and the lead gets caught as she tries to go around the outside of the gate. She might pull all the harder, not realizing she has to come back and go through the gate. Our dog often doesn't know what's best for her. In fact, very often we don't know what's best for us, or if we do, we don't do it. I know what foods I shouldn't eat, and yet I find myself scoffing another pizza down. We know certain behaviours will damage those we love, and yet we can't find ourselves stopping doing them. We'll all know someone, won't we, who doesn't make decisions that are good for them. Why do we think we know best when it comes to our own life? Will we even consider listening to God? The sad truth is we don't naturally want God to be calling the shots in our lives. On our own, we don't automatically come to Jesus. So much of what is wrong in the world is caused directly by doing what we want, putting ourselves first. And all the pain and problems in the world are indirectly because of our rebellion against God. I said I have a love-hate relationship with Christmas lights, but when Jesus, the true light of the world, steps onto the scene, humanity doesn't want him at the heart of our lives. In fact, we don't even want him as part of our lives. We might think, well, look, come on, I'm in church. Of course I'm not against Jesus. We like to think of ourselves as a spiritual Switzerland. But how many of us wake up one morning and think, you know what? I've just realized there is a God who's made himself known in Jesus. He should be in charge of my life. I'll turn back to him and trust him as my Lord and Savior. It just doesn't happen. We need God to help us see the light. And verse 5, it doesn't end with the sad news. But remember the double meaning. The darkness has not overcome the light. It hasn't grasped it to destroy it. In fact, the light overcomes the darkness. Hundreds of years before the first Christmas, a spokesman for God called Isaiah said these words. We had them a little earlier. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. He was looking forward to a day when God would step into his world in the person of Jesus and deal with the darkness in the world. And Christmas proclaims he has. When I was younger, I used to play around with waterproof matches. Maybe you know the ones that I mean. You can't put them out except for when they do go out. However, not even death could extinguish Jesus. Light and dark, they're universal images, but we mustn't slip into thinking this is like Star Wars. I've got stickers on a light switch in my study that say light side and dark side. But the light and dark here in John's Gospel are not equal and opposing forces. No, there's only one winner. Whether we're a convinced Christian, a curious questioner, a confirmed critic, all of us want the good guys to win. But why? Could it be because it is the story of ultimate reality? You see, it was at the cross the light and the darkness came into a bitter and decisive conflict, and the darkness could not prevail. When the darkness had the opportunity to snuff out the light, it was an epic fail. In fact, it was an impossibility. Yes, Jesus died on the cross, but in so doing, the light overcomes the darkness. In fact, the last reference to darkness in this book comes on the morning Jesus rises from the dead. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Death has been defeated. Christmas is glad news. The darkness cannot overcome the light. This isn't fake news. John backs up his claim with evidence. Can I encourage you most strongly to investigate the evidence? Take away one of these Gospels and read it as a thinking adult. John tells us God is doing a new creation kind of work. John 1 is meant to sound very like Genesis 1, the beginning of the Bible. It is another beginning, a fresh hope, a new dawn. It really is worth finding out more. We need to remember what's at stake. Again, later on in this book, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I've come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, and he continues to shine today. And the question each one of us is left with is, what are we going to do about it? Remain in darkness or come into the light? To come to the light is to receive life. John mentions life 36 times in his book. And the last mention is this. John says his whole book is written so that you may believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Well, our time is gone. If you want to find out more, can I encourage you to fill in one of the welcome cards you'd find scattered around? We'd love to send you more details about upcoming courses. Or it might be you want to read a John's Gospel with a Christian friend. But for now, I'm going to close by saying a short prayer. It's a prayer you might want to make your own, so I'll say each line slowly. And if you do pray along, perhaps for the first time, please do let someone know. Let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you that Jesus is the light of the world. Thank you that he makes you known to us. And thank you that he shows us what we're like. I know that my heart is naturally turned away from you and I deserve your judgment. But thank you that Jesus has overcome the darkness by dying in my place. Please forgive me because of Jesus. And please help me live with Jesus as my Lord and my God. We ask this in his name. Amen.